When King Benjamin was old, he decided to make a proclamation throughout the land. He wanted to teach his people so that they would prosper and follow God. After his death, the first chapter of Mosiah tells us part of what the king told the people. The second chapter starts with this. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of speaking the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them. They had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. Now that wasn't an end to everything that King Benjamin had to say, but that was the end to what the angels had delivered to him to say. Seeking to save your life can take on many different meanings. When we look at it in terms of the scriptures, there is one predominant theme. Seeking to save your life goes hand in hand with a certain mindset, a way of thinking that prevents us from pleasing God. It is carnal man. So after King Benjamin was completely finished speaking, he wanted to know what the people thought. Did they believe his words? So, he sent some people out to ask him. From the third chapter in Mosiah, verse 3, this is the people responding. And also we know of their surety and truth, because of the Spirit of the Lord omnipotent, which has wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. Mindset change. The people turned from an evil disposition to doing good continually. I don't know that I see any visitors here that haven't been baptized that I know of. So most of us are baptized. We've decided to make the same choice. And that's fantastic. It really truly is. As I was doing my studies throughout this week, I think it was Wednesday, I came upon this scripture out from Exodus that when I was thinking about preparing for tonight, I thought, wow, that changes the way I view my mindset. This is Exodus chapter 20, verse 25. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. This was given to the Israelites just after they left Egypt with Moses. I believe it's a very interesting and a very meaningful commandment to the Israelites. What is beautiful to us is not always beautiful to God. God is the great creator, not us. If we have raised a tool to make something, then we have marred his work. Thinking about this, I told my wife, maybe we shouldn't mow the grass in the backyard and let nature take its course, because it'd be more beautiful to God. It doesn't look like we're going to be using our backyard for an altar anytime soon, needless to say. But quite seriously, it is a part of our mindset. Are we doing what the Lord would have us to do, or are we doing what we think is best because we have placed our values for God's values? When I, as a man, think of an altar made of hewn stone, I got to tell you, I stand back and I'm like, wow, that's impressive, because you know how much work it took to hew stone out, especially with hand tools. But a mound of earth or one of stacked stones, would that be nearly as impressive to us? I don't think so. But that's not God's mindset. That's ours. So take a moment and reconsider the statement that we read in Mosiah. And also we know of their surety and truth, because of the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which has wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. Do you believe that had the Israelites made an altar of hewn stone, that they would have been blessed by God and sacrificed thereon? I want to say, based on that commandment, I don't think so. In fact, it may have even produced some type of punishment. I think to the time when Saul was waiting at Mizpah for Samuel. They were going to fight the Philistines. The soldiers were scared and they started leaving. And so what did Saul do? He took it upon himself to offer the sacrifice. He wasn't supposed to. He didn't have that job. He didn't have that authority. What does doing evil really consist of? I think, for one, it certainly includes the obvious things like lying, cheating, stealing, murdering. But let's go back to that altar made of hewn stone. If there were one, surely that would be evil. And it would be sin because it was a commandment from God that it not be made. You know, it's the mindset. We have to make sure that our minds are in the right place. My oldest daughter, Eve, and I were reading a series of books about 2 years ago. And at the time, Eve was not quite able to read the books on her own. So I read them, and she followed along. I'm not going to tell you what the books were, just in case anybody else is reading them. I don't want to ruin any of the endings. But there were 7 books total. We got through the first 6. And we had been checking these out online in the library. Mid-Continent Library would deliver them to my Kindle, and that's how we read them. So I got book 7, and we didn't have time to start reading it right away. But I was so excited, because I had never read the series of books myself, that I wanted to read it. So after Eve's bedtime, I started reading book 7. I thought, you know, it's not really a big deal, because I can read this book again with her, because they're enjoyable, quality books anyway. Well, what I found, much to my dismay, was an ending quite different than what I had expected. It was a very grave ending, in fact. I cried. So much so that Stacy, my wife, says, "What's wrong?" And I said, "It's the book. It's not the ending I expected." I said, "It's horrible." So the next day, I told Eve, I said, "Eve, I'm not going to read you that book. We're not going to read it together." And she was disappointed. But I said, "When you're old enough to read that book, you can read that book and we'll talk about it. But I'm not going to read it to you because it's upset me." She didn't really know what to think. So she says, "Okay," because what else could she say? She didn't have an option. But I got to tell you, if you know Eve, you know she can read. So this past January, when she was 6, she read the book by herself, which I didn't expect. But, you know, she did a good job. And as she was nearing the end, I kind of kept track on her, where she was at in the book. And towards the end, she started getting a little upset. She was a little worried. And I told Stacy, I said, "I'm going to have to step in because I think she's really going to be upset." And then she finished the book and she was happy. And I told my wife, I don't think she understands. And so I asked Eve, I said, "Eve, do you understand what you read?" She goes, "Yeah, Dad, I understand." And I said, "Well, why don't you take a minute and explain it to me so that I know that you understand?" And Stacy kind of, this is giving me that look of just keep your mouth shut and let her be happy. That particular end dealt with the afterlife and what happened to the characters. And Eve started to explain it to me. And the only thing that Eve could see was how wonderful it was that the main characters received a place beyond imagination that we can't even fathom because it was so wonderful. I even stopped her. I even interrupted her when she started, and I said, "But do you?" And Stacy said, "Shh, just listen." I did, and she explained it. And you know, when I read the book, all I could see was a loss of the main characters that I had come to really love as my own family. And when Eve explained it to me, and when she was done, I knew she was right, and I knew I was wrong. How is it that we could be anything but happy and joyful for those of us who pass over to a reward of joy? Never-ending joy. A place they'll never have to leave. That was her words. But this was my mindset. And it was the mindset of carnal man. Was it a sinful mindset? No, I don't really think so. But with that mindset, I had sorrow. And it was unneeded. It was about me, what I was going to miss. But really, it's recognizing God's glory. The world through the eyes of a child, if we were so fortunate to see this way all of the time, our lives probably wouldn't be the same. But this is what Christ spoke of when he said that we must be as a child to enter the kingdom. We must have the right mindset. We must throw off the carnal man. I think it's truly a blessing when I get to learn from my children, especially in times like that. I think, maybe I should say it makes me think, I as a teacher in the church have a job to do. But how can I compare to the great teacher? And the truth of it is, I can't. The best I can do is to try to teach the things that Christ has taught through his parables, through the scriptures that we have recorded that have been given to us as a very gracious gift. I can try to expound on teachings already given. And I can tell people to follow the commandments. This is about it. So as a teacher, think about this. If someone appeared, took a walk with you and said, "You know, I'm going to give you power over serpents and scorpions and the enemy so that nothing could hurt you," how happy would you be? Would you rejoice? I might. We would be completely safe. But that is the mindset of carnal man. Luke chapter 10, verses 20 through 21. "Behold," and this is Christ speaking to the disciples, "Behold, I will give unto you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Being thankful for the right things, the right gifts. It astounds me when I read that and I think about that in terms of Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, seeking to save your own life. You know, that verse right there, I think about it and I say, yeah, but I would be excited because I could do the Lord's work and not worry about being hurt. But wait a minute. We already know we can do the Lord's work and not worry about being hurt. Because even if our physical bodies are hurt, we have that wonderful place to go to. wonderful beyond measure. So why rejoice over the physical? What about the servants in Matthew chapter 18? He owed the king 10,000 talents. Now, I don't know this for sure, but the last time I checked, I think a talent is 75 pounds of silver or 75 pounds of gold. It's quite a bit. And he owed 10,000 talents to the king. And the king forgave his debt completely. The same servant, after this, went out and found another who owed him only 100 pence, which is much, much less than 10,000 talents. And he wouldn't forgive the debt. I think the parable's meaning is very clear about forgiveness that is required from us because of what we have received. But let's look at the mindsets involved here. The servant had 10,000 talents forgiven. He likely said to himself, "This is good news for me. Now I can continue and try to finally get ahead and finish out some of the other projects or things that I need to work on and I needed to accomplish." He then went or ran into this other man who owed him 100 pence and demanded payment because this was useful to him to get his goals done, to have his needs met. The money used in this example is easy for us to understand forgiveness because many of us, if not all, have had loans, and it takes a great deal of effort to pay them off and a great deal of time, especially if it's a home or a new car or something like that. But what good things have we that haven't been given by God? Faith, musical ability, charity, love, property, wisdom, all kinds of physical skills could be listed. Now think about how you share those with others. Do we share those others with others freely so that our mindset is one of God, loving thy neighbor as thyself? Or is it one that is of carnal man, where we use our skills to the best of our own ability to try to meet our goals? Still falling into that carnal, natural man. So how do we fix our mindset, change our view of creation, and truly say that we have no more disposition to do evil? Well, here's what King Benjamin told his sons. This is from Mosiah, the first chapter, verses 5 through 7. "For it were not possible that our father Lehi could have remembered all these things, to have taught them to his children, except it were for the help of these plates. For he, having been taught in the language of the Egyptians, therefore he could read these engravings and teach them to his children, that thereby they could teach them to their children, and so fulfilling the commandments of God even down to this present time. I say unto you, my sons, were it not for these things which have been kept and preserved by the hand of God, that we might read and understand of his mysteries, and have his commandments always before our eyes, that even our fathers would have dwindled in unbelief." We have to repent, and we have to study the scriptures.